All right, we are celebrating a very important holiday of today, as you know. It's cold out. We didn't get snow. I know we like a white Christmas, but that's why we're here, is to celebrate the birth of Christ. And you think about that. You think about all the movies there are about Christmas. I just want to take a poll here today. What your favorite Christmas movie is? I only have three of them listed. It's kind of the same genre. So just think about this. I'm going to list some Holiday Inn, It's a Wonderful Life, White Christmas. So think about that, which one you're going to vote for. You have a fourth option. I don't like secular Christmas movies because they have nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas. So if you want to vote for that one, you can. That's fine. So how many think Holiday Inn is the best of those three Christmas movies? Yeah, I didn't think so. All right. It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, my gosh. Okay, two hands for Dan, all right. And White Christmas, Hummel Family, Wayne, okay. All right, some people there. And I don't like secular Christmas movies because they don't have anything to do with the real meaning of Christmas. I'm with you guys, too. The reason I have to vote for White Christmas, my sister got us into it. It's well written, it's cute. And there is one song in there that has the word blessing in it. Teresa and I would like to sing it for you this morning. It's by Irving Berlin, and we just love it.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings.
When our bankroll is getting small, I think of when we had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings.
I think about a nursery and I picture curly heads,
and one by one I count them as they slumber in their beds. If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep counting your blessings. Thank you, Therese. Thank you, Cindy. No, I'm not having a TIA. I know that it's Resurrection Sunday. But one of the things we're going to talk about today is blessings. And we heard a lot of blessings this morning. I was really impressed. We'll talk about different kinds of blessings. We're also going to talk about what a redeemer is. A redeemer is one who delivers or rescues someone by paying a price. It's literally to buy out. A kinsman redeemer, which we've been talking about in the book of Ruth, which I'll give you a summary here shortly, was a male relative who had the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who was in trouble, danger, or need. The law of the kinsman redeemer is given in Leviticus 25:25. If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor he has to sell part of his property, then his nearest kinsman is to come and buy back what his relative has sold to rescue them. And this is a basic law that is in the book of Ruth. So to give you a summary of this sweet love story, the book of Ruth, Ruth was from the land of Moab, a hated country of Israel, quite a wicked country, a wicked beginning. And she was the daughter-in-law of Naomi, who was a Judean, an Israelite. And so they were related by marriage. But they were both widowed. Both of their husbands had died. And Naomi was forced to sell her late husband's property due to all their poverty. So Ruth went to glean in nearby fields, and she happened, quote unquote, we'll see that. In fact, I got it right there in chapter 2, verse 3. She happened to come upon a parcel of land belonging to Boaz. And Ruth told Naomi that the man who owned the field, what his name was, and Naomi was hopeful that he was a close relative, one of their kinsmen redeemers, someone who could redeem them. And so it happens that actually Ruth asked Boaz to act on her and Naomi's behalf in chapter 3, verse 9, to be their kinsman redeemer. And Boaz said he was willing, in verse 12 of chapter 3, to purchase the property, marry Ruth, and provide for both women, but there was a nearer relative who was in line. And Boaz assured Ruth that one way or another, he would make sure that they would be protected. Either this other kinsman would take it, or he would. And that's where we are now, and we're going to have our cast come up for this week to read their parts. When it says congregation, you're all going to read, and when it says women, all the women, please read. You'll see that later on there. All right. Now, when Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said,
"Turn aside, friend. Sit down here."
And he came over and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said,
"Sit down here."
So they sat down. And he said to the Redeemer,
"Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to her brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here, and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you."
And he said,
"I will redeem it."
Then Boaz said,
"On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance."
Then the Redeemer said,
"I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it."
Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land. To confirm any matter, a man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the way of confirmation in Israel. So the Redeemer said to Boaz,
"Buy it for yourself."
And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people,
"You are witnesses today that I have bought from the land of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today."
And all the people of the congregation who were in the court and the elders said,
"We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the descendants whom the Lord will give you by this young woman."
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he had relations with her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi,
"Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him."
Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap, and she became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying,
"A son has been born to Naomi."
So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron, Hezron fathered Ram, and Ram fathered Amminadab. And Amminadab fathered Nahshon, and Nahshon fathered Salmon, and Salmon fathered Boaz, and Boaz fathered Obed, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. Amen. Thank you. The whole book of Ruth has God's provision all the way through it. It's a wonderful, encouraging thing. First thing we're going to look at is real quickly look at this court case, a wonderful slice of history that historians appreciate all the nuances that are in this. The fact that they meet at the city gate, that's where they typically held court. And as they go through this whole thing, of course, there's another coincidence of God that as soon as Boaz gets there, that man happens to be walking by. Perfect timing. And at first, the man is willing to be the Redeemer, but then he changes his mind, and there's a number of speculation about why that might be. My favorite one is the fact that he was afraid having a child with Ruth would mess up maybe another son that he has or something, or some way that he wouldn't get the inheritance anymore, that it would go down another line, Elimelech's line. I'm not sure. But in any case, he did not want to endanger his estate, and Boaz was more than willing, loved Ruth. They were both men and women of valor, of excellence, and that made them kinsmen in a lot of different ways. And I think it's a very... We talked about blessings this morning. We sang our blessing song. And I think of blessings. I've been thinking about them the last couple of weeks as I've been preparing for this. What different kinds of blessings there are. And I came up with two categories. There are small blessings where we heard some this morning where there's just these coincidences in our life where we happen to meet the right person at the right time, or a lot of us have lost our keys. Believe it or not, talk to the Lord about that, and they show up. And sometimes in places you wouldn't be able to figure out on your own. It's wonderful. And some people mock that, but I don't mock that anymore. Those are small blessings. But then there are big blessings, like our salvation in Christ, and our peace that we have with Him, and the walk that we have with Him, and how much we spare other people our troubles, because we take them to the Lord. So there's so many people that are spared hearing about a lot of our troubles. Sometimes we still need help to talk to people too. But I looked in the book of Ruth and I saw six other kinds of blessings, kind of specifically. And we'll just look at them here. There's spoken prayer blessings, like we might have done, and I forgot, at Lucas and Hannah's house last week. Yesterday, we could have spoken a blessing over that house, and we still can. May the Lord bless your house and bring people into it to come to know you, Lord Jesus, and speak blessings. I think that's amazing. There are, of course, miracles that are very blessing. There are redeemers, plural. We think of Jesus as being the one who paid the price. He did, but He also allows others to pay for us as well, and we'll see that in this book. People in general can be blessings to us. We can be blessings to others. What a joy that is, to be a blessing to someone else, for someone else to say, this was a huge blessing, thank you. And I don't think there's a better feeling than that. Adoption, we're going to see that there's probably a formal adoption in chapter 4, but we also feel like we're adopted to people within the body of Christ too. I think of Doreen sitting back there just a few months ago. She was my adopted mom, and I was her adopted son, and adopted grandchildren, and that was very special to me. We have adoption within the family of Christ too. And then that we're part of God's plan. And if you can see some of that in your life, that's a huge blessing. And we're going to see a huge, powerful part of God's plan that Boaz and Ruth were. So blessing number one is in chapter 4, verse 11. All the people who were in the court and the elders said, quote, and this is the blessing, we are witnesses, may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. And indeed, they did have a child right away, so that was a blessing that was answered by that prayer. Rachel and Leah, of course, had children that became Israel, the nation, so that was a huge blessing. They also used their concubines, which wasn't the right thing to do, but God, in His graciousness, was worked through that as well, as He will in this book and other things we see. And the fact that Boaz and Obed did have a name in Ephrathah, which is the same thing as Bethlehem, and were famous. And how do we know they're famous? Because we're talking about them several thousand years later. That's pretty famous. See if your name's around 2,000-3,000 years from now. See how famous you are. So yeah, that was answered. Blessing number two. Then he says, moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. through the descendants whom the Lord will give you by this young woman. They mention this blessing because Boaz was a descendant of Judah and Tamar and Perez. But interesting that they would use that blessing because Tamar was a prostitute. And God uses that as a blessing because he has grace for everyone who turns to him. And how wonderful that is that they use that as a blessing. So blessing number two. Blessing number three, Boaz took Ruth and he became his wife and he had relations with her and the Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. That is a miracle because Ruth was married for 10 years and childless. 10 years. And as soon as she marries Boaz, by some happenstance, does it say happened here? No, it actually spells it out. The Lord enabled her to conceive. Now, whoever wrote the book of Ruth probably knew that it had to be that because after 10 years of barrenness, it just happened. And so that's the third blessing, a miracle. We have miracles in our lives too. We don't see them as much as we should, but they're there, and we need to expect them and see them. The fourth blessing is a redeemer. The women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name be famous in Israel." Now we know that Boaz was their redeemer. He had the wealth to buy back the property. He had the desire to marry his sweetheart, Ruth, I believe. And yet, that's not what the women are talking about here. They go on in verse 15, which we'll look at in a minute. They're talking about Obed. Obed. They're saying the Lord has not left you without a redeemer today. Obed, the son. Part of the reason is that still blessing four, don't get ahead of me here. Part of the reason is that Boaz is Naomi's age. He's more like Ruth's father-in-law would be. So he's not going to be around long enough to continue to support them. Obed's going to grow up and be the one that supports them. He's the one that has redeemed them in a lot of ways. So that's very special that they see that. Blessing number five, may he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. Hence that, talking about Obed. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Blessing number five, having seven sons is supposedly this huge blessing. You see it in Job chapter 1, verse 2, that Job had seven sons. That meant he was so blessed by God. And he was. There's no question about it. But that significant seven sons. I did leave it also in Hannah's song when God gives her a son. She sings this song. And it's like the song that Mary sings when she's been told that she's going to give birth to the Savior. Hannah sings a song. And she talks about how the wealthy you make poor and the poor you raise up. And so she says, those who are full have to hire themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry cease to hunger. Even the infertile woman gives birth to seven. There's that number again. But she who has many children languishes. So there is that blessing of seven. And they're saying that Naomi's only one, and she's not a son, but she herself is better than seven sons. What a blessing. What a blessing Ruth was. I think I said Ruth. Did I mix it up? Okay. What a blessing Ruth was to Naomi. So that's blessing number five. Blessing number six is in verse 17. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi, so they named him Obed, which means worshiper. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. This, according to Dr. Reed of Dallas Theological Seminary, may have been a formal adoption ceremony that Naomi adopted Obed as her son also. Whatever that means. But that's where I get that thought of we need to adopt each other. When we really connect with people in the body of Christ, don't be afraid to really connect and become family and spend time with them and redeem them in a sense, and they can redeem you as family does. Help each other out and love each other. What a joy that is. So that's blessing number six. Blessing number seven, the biggest of all, which you might have overlooked, this whole heritage from the Lord. Passing down, they've got it from Perez, Judah's son, on down to David. And David was the greatest king Israel ever had, a man after God's heart. And David didn't get that by accident. God doesn't just pop people up to be great. They are raised by a mom and dad who love the Lord, who were raised by a mom and or dad. Sometimes it's one or the other. And for generations are taught to love the Lord and taught the Word of God. And you think about Boaz and Ruth and how much they loved the Lord and how much they did everything for the Lord. They taught Obed that. And Obed and his wife taught Jesse that. And Jesse taught David that. David took it to heart. Now granted, each child has to make that decision on their own to follow Yahweh and has to make that decision to follow Him with everything you have. But that's where David got his foundation to be able to make that choice. And so it is we see in the book of Matthew, the lineage, same lineage spelled out all the way from Abraham down through Judah, mentioning Perez, and then I leave off because we have it up above there in Ruth, and then all the way down to David, and how that goes all the way down to Christ. The most blessed thing that Ruth and Boaz get is that they are in the lineage of Christ. And we see in that lineage four women, which I was going to put on the screen where that little space is there, but I forgot. We see Rahab, who was a prostitute and a Gentile, not a Jew. She's in the lineage of Christ. We see Ruth, who was a very excellent woman, very clean and moral, but she was from the nation of Moab. Ugh! She's in the lineage of Christ. Then we see, help me out here, Tamar, who is a prostitute, and then Bathsheba is also listed in Matthew chapter 1. Amazing. God says, my grace can overcome anything. Anyone can come to me and be a part of God's plan. Wow, how amazing that is. What grace we see in Boaz and Ruth and their children being part of God's plan. Now, they didn't know that. They didn't know that David was great-grandson down there, and they didn't know that David was going to be in the lineage of Jesus. But we trust that God is using us too, and that we're part of God's big plan. So we have seven blessings. Blessing number one, Rachel and Leah. We have the blessing of, these are spoken blessings. Blessing number two, Perez, Tamar, and Judah. Blessing number three are miracles, that miraculous conception. Number four, the blessing, the Redeemer for Naomi. We see that as being not only Boaz, but Obed. Number five, Ruth is better than seven sons to Naomi. Blessing number six, that formal mode of adoption, or even an informal mode of adoption in our lives. And number seven, to be part of Christ's lineage. Now, I do have out on the sermon rack out there a little booklet called Who is the True Redeemer in the Book of Ruth? And I lifted it word for word from gotquestions.org, which I love that website. I highly recommend it. So we know that Boaz is one of the redeemers in the Book of Ruth. Maybe I thought he was the only one until I read that little article, which you can get a copy of. Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, Naomi said to Ruth, the man is our relative, he is one of our redeemers, according to Leviticus 25:25. So he's definitely a redeemer in the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 10. He says to Ruth, I had to put this line in there, so sweet, because he likes Ruth, but, you know, hands off, because he's a moral man, and he's just going to make sure she and Naomi are taken care of. And she asks him to marry her, and he's like, may you be blessed to the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. She had her pick of any man she could have. She chose Boaz because she saw that he was a man like her, a man who loved the Lord and was a man of valor and excellence. So that's very sweet. But we also see that Ruth, of course, was a redeemer to Naomi. Naomi asked her two daughters-in-law to go back to their land of Moab and live in their family's house and start over. And they raised their voices and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then Naomi said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. And I had to put this line in, the most famous line in the book, the most wonderful line, one of the greatest lines of all Scripture. Ruth said, Do not plead with me to leave you or go back from turning to follow you. For where you go, I will go, and where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and worse, if anything but death separates me from you. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. What a great statement by Ruth. It brings tears to your eyes. It's heartwarming. And she uses the word Lord, all caps. Remember, that's the proper intimate name of the Lord God, Yahweh, Jehovah. She knows him. Naomi has taught her. Somebody has taught her. Naomi or Elimelech taught her who Yahweh is through the word of God. And she loves him. And so now she is willing to sacrifice everything, her language, her culture, her family, for Naomi. She is a redeemer. She is paying something for Naomi. That's what a redeemer means. She is sacrificing and paying for Naomi. And she was better than seven sons to Naomi. Really valuable to Naomi. Of course, we saw that Obed had that possible adoption, but also the fact that the women say that he is a redeemer today. May his name become famous. May he be the one that sustains you in your old age. So he is mentioned as a redeemer. And the fourth redeemer, and by the way, some of you are filling that out. Cool. Okay. The fourth redeemer is the Lord. The Lord is the ultimate redeemer in everything. We see this in Psalm 106:10. So he saved them from the hand of the one who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. This is talking about Israel. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his guilty deeds. He will redeem Israel. They were doing it through animal sacrifices as a placeholder, but he will redeem them with Christ. Christ's death on the cross was for Israel and for us Gentiles as well. Kind of two different purposes there of many others as well. Isaiah 48:17. This is what the Lord says. He who is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to benefit, who leads you in the way you should go. What a great verse. And finally, in the New Testament, the verse that sums it up, the verse I put at the top of your bulletins, Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Wow. So we come to Resurrection Sunday, and Christ has paid that price. He became our curse. He became our sin. He took our sin upon him, and he is cursed, and we aren't if we're in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, I don't even hardly want to mention the torment that's going to come, but right now you have no peace. You have no deep joy, like Russ was saying even. And you know, we talk a lot about the death of Christ on the cross. We did that all week. But today, we talk about the sealing. How do we know we're in Christ? He rose again. He's still alive. We have relationship with him, those of us in Christ. And we see all kinds of redemption in the Bible from day one. When Adam and Eve turned away from God, God redeemed them by killing an animal, putting clothing on them. And how sad that was, the first blood. The ark is an example of redemption. Door wide open for months. Come on in. They refused, but that was the redemption that was available to all humanity. Abraham and Isaac go up on the mountain. Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? What's Abraham said? The Lord himself will provide the lamb being Jesus. And the most amazing account of redemption in the book of the Bible is the book of Ruth. Four small chapters, so well written, mostly dialogue. That's why I had people read it. Because the book is rare. It has all this dialogue in it. It's amazing. Wonderfully written. And when we think about redeemers, we know that God is working in our lives just as he worked in Ruth's life. There was famine in the land. Who caused the famine? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. God allowed it to happen so he could work his purposes. And then we saw in chapter 2, verse 3, it happened to be the field of Boaz. That's how she met Boaz. We see in chapter 4, verse 5, that the man would not take it. Well, that was a good thing. And they did 10 years without a child in Ruth chapter 4, verse 1, verse 4. Then in 4:13, instantly able to conceive. Why? Because the Lord enabled her to do it. And so it is that we see God working in our lives as a redeemer. But I think he calls all of us to be redeemers too, little redeemers in his name, as ambassadors of Christ, as those here to sacrifice for others, but with joy. And sometimes, as Jesus was in the garden lamenting, do I really have to do this? Sometimes the work we have to do for others is hard. And we ask the Lord, I really don't feel like doing this, but your will be done. And so I look forward to those times when we'll be able to say, okay, your will be done. I'm going to sacrifice my pleasure, my time for this person, and may there be fruit in it. So let's look to see how we can be redeemers and also remember the blessings in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is so alive and it's so interesting. I thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to what it means as we come to you in Christ, that without Christ and the Holy Spirit indwelling us thereby, we would not understand the spiritual truths of your word. And maybe there are people listening to this today or later on online that see this as a great love story and see some pretty cool happen coincidence things. But they don't get the spiritual side, Lord. If anyone's listening and hears that and says, yeah, I don't actually feel changed by this. Well, it certainly could be my preaching, Lord, but your word doesn't go away empty. So, Lord, I'd ask that everyone who hears this would really consider, do they know you? Do they have that belief in Jesus as their Savior? Do they have the Holy Spirit indwelling them? And if there's any question about that, any doubt about that, most of us in this room don't have any doubt by your grace that through our faith we are saved from eternal suffering, separated from you, in a place that isn't even made for human beings. It's just where they go because they choose to follow Satan, even though they don't know it, because he looks like a pretty good guy sometimes. Lord, I pray that we would be able to see those people, that you would wake them up, and that they would want to talk to one of us about what we have, and that we'd be able to share that with them, begin to anyway. It may take a while. It doesn't always happen overnight, Lord. You've given us great minds, and we have to grasp your love for us. But it's throughout your word, which is so sweet. It's a love story like Boaz and Ruth. We just happened to come to faith. We just happened to have redeemers in our lives, sacrificing for us, telling us about you. And then we saw it in your word and we believed it. And you are so in love with us. You are so grateful that we chose you. When we could have chosen someone more flashy or the world or our own desires. But we chose you, and you are just like Boaz. You are just upside down about us. You just love us so much. So thank you again, Lord, for this Resurrection Sunday that we would worship together in our final song. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.